Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth, and he who fails to reach 100 will be considered a curse. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will the days of my people, my chosen people, joy in the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call me, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading that our message is based on is the Isaiah passage that we responsibly read earlier in the service. And in looking at it, it really addresses the old things being made new as God talks about the new heaven and the new earth that are going to come for us. And with that in mind, just the idea of new and improved is what I was thinking of. And how many products we have that are always new and improved? It's new, it's improved, it's better than it was before. And it's the idea now we can now buy our product instead of the others, or switch back to our product, or buy the new product because it'll do something for you that others wouldn't. Some things aren't really necessarily improved, they're just new or done differently and you get the same thing. They used to have in some soap bars and in shampoos these microbeads. And you get them with the microbeads. Those were little bitty plastic pellets is what those were. Very, very small. And even if you tried to dig them out to where you could see them, they were so small it was hard to hold on to them so you could actually look. But they were stuffing up things. They were clogging drains and they were getting into to the filter systems and making a mess. So they had made them new and improved with the microbeads, and then after a while banned them and took them all out, and now they're new and improved again by taking out the microbeads. So you're back to what you were, what have you got anymore? But that's kind of the way we look at things. Things change over time. An old pair of shoes, something you might keep in the closet, something you might keep out in the garage or on the back porch you use just around the house or in the yard because you know they're old, they're dirty, they're not in great condition. Or you do, if you go to Belize, you do like I did just a few weeks ago, and you just leave them there in another country and let them have them. And because there's still some wear in them that somebody can get, but I've got some others that I'm going to wear out now. And then you got your new shoes. And the new shoes, you protect them, you watch them, you're caring for them, and then you get upset when you get that first scuff on them, you know, and then it's, oh, now they're marred, now they're used. Vehicles, we do that with vehicles. You know, an older vehicle, we're not as worried about a little ping, a little dent, a little scratch. You get it on a brand new vehicle and, oh, I can't believe, you know, this mark, this ping, this scratch. Actually, when my wife had gotten her car, when it was new many years ago now, almost 10 years ago now, but I was responsible for putting the first dent in it. I think it was the second day she had it, maybe. The fender, I opened the door of my truck and I parked backwards and my truck door just flew open and went right into the fender. But this little bitty dent, very small, but right there. And I had to go in the house with my head down like this. Say, Catherine, I have to tell you something. It's not new anymore. Now you don't have to worry about the next scratch that comes along because it's already, I took care of that for you. I always thought, you get the old cars. You can, you know, the old cars we don't worry about. Some people even let them sit there and rust out in the driveway or on the side of the house. Kind of reminded me of the old Jeff Foxworthy joke. if you mow your lawn and you find a car in it, you might be a redneck. And I've seen quite a few yards with cars actually in them, and other things as well. But I wonder if that's something that's happened to people in the church. You know, we've kind of gotten to the point where we look at the church as being old hat. It's not new anymore. There's not something new and exciting. So we're having to look at the old, and the old isn't giving us the excitement, the thrill, the desire to keep up with everything as it once did. Joy fades quickly in our life. The joy of a birth of a child, and yet then we start to mourn because the child grows up too quickly. And Christians, a new Christian on fire for the Lord, they're excited, they're wanting to be a part of everything, but they burn out quickly, and that excitement level just does not hang on for those new Christians throughout all of their days. It begins to wane away. Those new and improved things do not stay new and improved for too long in our lives. But that's what the Bible is talking about too. And so understanding that once we are created new and once we are improved, there is something for us to be about. There is something that has been changed that has taken place in us so that we can be more than we have been in the past, do more than we have. And it's throughout the Bible, this idea of a new and improved life, if you will, from Adam and the bondage of sin, it starts off right there, to God saying, you know, he's going to be blessing through the descendants, but it's not going to be the same as it was before. It's going to be something new. It's, in that case, not necessarily a great improvement from what he had, but improvement in what he's promised and the glories of heaven that are going to be there, and it's coming. This new product is going to be there in the life of all people one day. For the Israelites, they spent 400 years plus in slavery in Egypt, and God had a plan, so he brings them out of that, and they go from the wilderness to the promised land. And with Jesus, we hear echoed over and again the story of sin and salvation as God gives us that new and improved look on life and ministry and opportunity. We are a people that need to be created anew. And it's not just outward, it's inward that needs to take place as well. Because we can dress everything up and make it look good, but not have really changed anything on the inside in our lives. And usually that's because of the way we process and the way we think. You see, God is always looking at what we're going to become, where we're going to be. God is outside of time. God sees us in that completed story where we are now with him and in the eternity of heaven. We tend to be looking back all the time, and that's what happens. We look back, God looks forward. We look back, God looks forward. God's seeing what will be. We're mourning the past. We're remembering the past. We're stuck in our memories and the way things have been. And, well, that's not going to work because we've tried that before. We know that that's not going to be something that's positive. Or we're stuck remembering and mourning and expressing our loss and our hurt and our pain instead of remembering what is ahead for all of us, that day when there'll be no more tears, that day when we will all be resurrected, that day that is coming for us. But we deal with the now, and we deal with the past, neither of which are always something that is going to help us get to where we need to be going in the future. I mean, look around us at what we do to this world. God's given us a world to care for, and from our past, we see where we are in the present. It hasn't gotten any better. We pollute it. We throw out bottles. We throw out cigarette butts. We find trash all over the road. And we continue to fail to take care of what God has given us. Fortunately, we know that he's going to be creating the earth anew as well. But in the meantime, we need to be caring for what we have, this life, and looking for what God is going to be giving to us, and being good stewards of what we have today, knowing what is ahead for us. I remember that song from the movie Paint Your Wagon. If you've ever seen that long musical, Paint Your Wagon, several hours long, Clint Eastwood sings like three songs in it. That's not a selling point. There's a reason why most of his movies were westerns. He was good at that. There's a reason why he did one musical. No more of that. Lee Marvin also sang in that. He was good at the westerns too. He was kind of fun, one of those raspy voice singers. But there was this one song he sang in particular that has always stuck with me. And it's just a fun song. It says, God made the mountains, God made the sky, God made the people. God knows why. He fixed up the planet as best as he could, then in come the people and gum it up good. And that's what happens. We do. We take what's beautiful that God's given us and we made a mess of it. We've made a mess of our very lives. We're certainly going to make a mess of everything else around us. We make a mess of our families. We make a mess of the world because it's all filled with sin. We ourselves are lost and struggling in sin. We're depraved, we're broken, we're polluted. And that's what we do to the world too. And we cannot save ourselves. It just can't happen. It's not possible. So we need Jesus to come to us. We need a Lord that can come and bring in for us the good news of how we can get to heaven. And that's what Jesus did. God in His mercy gave us Christ. And in Christ, we're a new creation. And in the waters of baptism, we are born again. And in the reception of Holy Communion, we're forgiven again. And we're created anew each time so that we can be forgiven and go on and be more than we have been. We had the corporate confession and absolution today. Your sins have been forgiven. Have you sinned since we did the confession? Maybe. I don't know what's been going on in your head. Or your heart. But if you have, then you ask for forgiveness again, and God gives it to you again. He creates you anew every single time. Now, what do you do now that God has given you this new? You see, the old has passed away, the new has come. That's what we focus on. We're told in Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, and through baptism we are, then they are a new creature. The old has passed away, the new has come. God has made you new. What do you do with this new you? Don't follow the example of those who have gone before us in the Scriptures. He created Jerusalem anew, in a sense, the Israelites anew, but they didn't quite do it. The old people, they groaned about their slavery in Egypt. And then they grumbled when the Lord led them out of Egypt because it wasn't what they were expecting it to be. And they groaned about starving in the desert. And then they grumbled when He gave them bread because it wasn't what they wanted. They wanted more. And then they groaned about being in the desert and God leads them out of the desert to the promised land. And they grumble and groan about the Canaanites being there. You just can't make them happy. It's like those people that we all know. Some people are never happy unless they're complaining about something. If something is there to make them unhappy, then they're happy. Take that away and they're lost. Don't be those people. Recognize what God has given us and God has led us to and how God has given us the opportunity to change, to be something new. He's given everything we needed and more. God has provided for not just the forgiveness of sins for this life, but that forgiveness of sins through His death and resurrection on the cross. Jesus gives us the opportunity to be called the children of God. The former things are forgiven. And we have to remember that both the inside and the outside have to be changed. Both the inside and the outside must be changed for us to be the new creation. You don't just put a new package around an old product and call it new and improved. That's called new packaging. You have to change something on the inside too. And that's the way we are. We don't just get dressed up and pretend that everything's okay. We need to change on the inside in our hearts and recognize that God has given us new opportunities, new life, new chances to to serve him more faithfully now than we have in the past. And God looks at us and he's created us new. And in the beginning, when he created everything from nothing, he says, it is good. It is good. It is good. He looks at us now and what he's done with us, recognizing his son has died for us and the forgiveness we have received because of that. And he doesn't just say, it's good. He looks at you and he says, it's very good. You're very good. What God has done with you, how God has brought you to this place and time. So what will you do with this new you? How will you live for him now that you have been forgiven and restored and created new? Not just on the outside, but on the inside. It's seen that you are a new person. You've been forgiven. How will you live in that forgiveness? What will you do with this new opportunity and new life you've been given? Whenever we repent, God restores us anew. And now you're called to live differently. That's why we even say in the communion registry, it says on there, you know, not just are you a sinner recognizing that Jesus forgives you, but do you want to amend your sinful life? Do you want to change who you are? That's critical in the forgiveness of sins. It's not just a matter of, I know I'm going to just keep doing this, Lord, so I'll just keep asking for forgiveness. That doesn't work. At that point, we're not broken and contrite, and that's what it talks about in the Scripture. We have to desire to be better. We have to want that change. And God says, I'll make it all new. For they will be a people blessed, they and their descendants after them. And that's his promise to us. He doesn't just remake us, but he remakes our future. He gives us the opportunity to live for him and to share that good news with others around us, to share the news that we've received of being forgiven and restored to children and to grandchildren and perhaps to great-grandchildren. God looks at you and what he has done in your life, and he says, you're not just good. Because of the forgiveness he's given you and the way he's given it to you, he says, you are very good. You're new and improved. So, knowing that you are, what will you do differently? And what will be next in your life? You're forgiven. You're not just good, you're very good. What will you do with being very good? It's not just a matter of a new packaging. God's changed the inside. You're different now. Who will you be today? In Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.